One of my favorite authors of books about writing, not necessarily his actual books, although I do like Gates of Fire, is Stephen Pressfield. Great author, but more than anything, these days, Stephen Pressfield is more of a dispeller of wisdom and expertise on overcoming this thing called the resistance, something that every entrepreneur, artist, or anyone that wants to actually do something great faces. And I think the best definition for the resistance is whenever you know you really want to do something, kind of that Carl Jungian shadow that you have, that you're suppressing, that you're putting down, like, and trying to ignore as best you can, but you know it's there. And every time you decide that you should sit down to write, if it's a writer that you know you want to be, or start a business and you know you need to get to sketching out a business plan, whatever the thing is that keeps you from going forward and doing that thing, that is the resistance. The resistance will always show up telling you all the things that you should do instead of the thing that you know you're really called to do, the thing that would really move you, the thing that would really put passion and drive in your life. And it's a shame because I think so many people, they let the resistance win so often. They fall victims to social media, eating, sex, drinking, drugs, all these things that get them to stop thinking about doing the thing that they know they should. The resistance is powerful. A good example is the Shawshank Redemption. Do you remember the character Brooks Hadlin? So Brooks, he finally gets out after like 50 years in prison, and he ends up killing himself because he just can't make it on the outside. Just living and pursuing freedom and enjoying freedom was too much for him. The prison allowed him to bask in the resistance of living his life. I guess it's Red, who's played by Morgan Freeman. Someone says it first, and then Red later agrees with it. You either got to get busy living or get busy dying. And those of us who succumb to the resistance, we're getting busy dying as opposed to get busy living. You got to overcome the resistance. Well, I'm reading this book right now for the second time called Turning Pro, Tap Your Inner Power and Create Your Life's Work by Stephen Pressfield. And I came across the chapter in which he describes what it was like for him whenever he decided to actually turn pro. And I wanted to bring it onto the show this morning because I think that all of us are faced with a kind of that line in the sand moment at some point that we're either going to stay behind the line or we're going to decide to cross it. And that is what Stephen Pressfield did. And it's a cool story because he defied so many odds. One, he failed time and time and time again and yet kept pursuing his craft of writing. And the next thing that I think is kind of what we don't really think about is guys like him or just this road to success is that it was much later in life whenever he really kind of hit the big time. You know, The Legend of Bagger Vance, I think, was probably his first most well-known novel. And most people knew about it because of the movie, not the book. And I want to say that Pressfield was over 50 years old when that happened. But I thought this chapter describing how he handled his past, the future that he wanted, and his present to finally defeat the resistance is really profound. And so as you listen to what I'm about to read to you from the book Turning Pro, I want you to think about what is it that you might have, like, kind of just it's almost like a like having a pebble in your shoe, you know, when you're walking. I mean, I say that this morning, literally, it's kind of funny I'm using that metaphor, because I was walking this morning and there was this tiny, a little bitty pebble or something in my shoe. And I could not ignore it. I just couldn't. I was trying to kind of zone out and kind of have a meditative walk, just enjoy the morning and get my mind set for the day. And I could not do it. That stupid freaking pebble just kept bugging the crap out of me until I finally stopped, took my shoe off, turned upside down. I couldn't even see the pebble fall out of my shoe, but it did. Whatever it was gone. So I put my shoe back on. I didn't feel it. But that's what this thing is. And the resistance is me saying, nah, I'll just ignore it and I'll keep walking. I don't want to stop and have to take off my shoe in the middle of the street. That's what the resistance will tell you. Just ignore it, just ignore it, just ignore it. But those who decide to overcome the resistance and remove that pebble, remove that longing, that itch, that pain that's just kind of under the surface. Those that are willing to do it, those are the ones who are going to live the richest and fullest of lives. So here is from Stephen Pressfield's book, My Year of Turning Pro. That's the chapter that this is, which I guess is, well, it's not actually in chapters. This is a really small book. By the way, I highly recommend it. It's actually, it's just kind of in sections, and they're just titles as opposed to chapters. And this one, here's how it reads. I was 31, and I'd saved up $2,700 and moved from New York City to a little town in Northern California. I rented a house behind another house for $105 a month. I had my old Chevy van, my Smith Corona typewriter, and my cat, Mo. Every Monday morning, I walked into the village to the Bank of America and took out $25. That sum lasted me for the next 7 days. I didn't talk to anybody during my year of turning pro. I didn't hang out. I just worked. I had a book in mind, and I had decided I would finish it or kill myself. I could not turn away again. I could not run away again, or let people down again, or let myself down again. This was it. Do or die. I had no TV, no radio, no music, no sex, no sports. I didn't read the newspaper. For breakfast, I had liver and eggs. I was like Rocky. In the early mornings, I'd walk down the river road to my friend Paul Rink's house, which was actually a camper shell mounted on a pickup. Paul was a writer. He had been a friend of Henry Miller's and Big Sur. Paul taught me what books to read and what writers to pay attention to. That's what I did at night. I read all the stuff that you're supposed to read in college, but never do. Or if you do, you're not paying attention. I read every American except Faulkner. I was riding on my Smith Corona, which had a heavy carriage and physically shuttled back and forth as I typed. My cat Mo would curl up on the desk on the left side of the typewriter so that the carriage would pass over his head back and forth as I typed. He didn't seem to mind. When I ran out of money at the end of my time, I went to pick apples in Washington State. When the season was over, I had cleared $250 after paying rent, gas, and engine repairs. I drove south and got back to work on the book. One day, I typed, "The End." That's the moment in The War of Art, another fantastic book of his, by the way, every creative should read, when I knew I had beaten resistance. I had finished something. The manuscript didn't find a publisher, and it shouldn't have. It wasn't good enough. I had to go back to a real job in advertising in New York and save up again and quit again and write another book that also didn't find a publisher because it also wasn't good enough. Neither were the 9 screenplays I wrote over the next X years. I can't even remember how many it was before I finally got my first check. I got my first check for $3,500 and promptly went back to writing more screenplays that I also couldn't sell. During that first year, I sometimes thought to myself, "Steve, you've got it lucky now. No distractions. You can focus full time. What are you going to do when life gets complicated again?" In the end, it didn't matter. That year made me a pro. It gave me, for the first time in my life, an uninterrupted stretch of month after month that was mine alone, that nobody knew about but me, when I was truly productive, truly facing my demons, and truly working my shit. That year stuck with me. The biggest takeaway in this story is that whenever we decide, when we first identify that pebble that's in our shoe, then we have to decide, how are we going to create a circumstance in which we can truly focus on getting that pebble out of our shoe? When are we going to finally bring that shadow self into reality? When are we going to answer our own personal call for what we were put on this earth to do? One of the things that Stephen Pressfield says over and over is that he truly believes we are all here for a purpose of some kind. Maybe it's a mother to be a mother. Maybe it's a writer to write. Maybe it's a mechanic to fix cars. But there's something that we are all created for on this earth. I spoke to someone on the podcast recently. I guess it was Darren McMaines. He said so many people are trying to find themselves when they need to be inventing themselves. Well, I think a twist on that is the invention is already there. That is you. Whatever it is you're called to do, it's there. It's been invented. But you have to start that discovery process and that own personal invention to start realizing and manifesting and making that thing that's already been invented, that is you, that is your natural self, that is the thing that you were called to do above all else. And then when you seek to invent yourself and decide what you're going to do to pursue that dream, to be like Stephen Pressfield, who truly in his heart of hearts believed he was a writer. He started acting like one. He started behaving like one. He started creating spaces in time and in his life where there was nothing he could do but write. Nothing to distract him. No sex, no booze, no drugs, no nothing. No TV, no newspapers. Only the craft of writing. Him, his cat, Mo, his big old Smith Corona typewriter, and his desire to be a writer. I have no idea what's in your heart of hearts and what it is that you've been ignoring. I don't know what your pebble is that's in your shoe, that's bugging you, that no matter how hard you try, you cannot ignore it. But my hope for you is that you would just stop and at least take the time to explore that pebble. Beat the resistance and try to figure out what it is you were called to do, and then take small steps that eventually become giant leaps into walking into the life that you were meant to live. All right, that does it for this episode of The Jason Wright Show. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. Keep going and never stop improving always and always. I'm Jason, and I'm out.